Today's gospel, Jesus pulls a fast one. A lawyer comes up to Jesus with a simple question. Teacher, choose from all the commandments one that is the greatest. Remember that in the Old Testament, there were 613 commandments. So in choosing one commandment, Jesus chooses two. And if we listen closely at his response, in one of those commandments, we find a third commandment. So for the whole list of 613 commandments, Jesus offers this. First, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So if we were to ask Jesus, then what is the greatest commandment? He would offer this triple commandment. Love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor. For today, I would like to focus on the first commandment, love God. Why should we love God? How can we love God? Love reminds us that we are chosen by God to be his daughters and sons. Love reminds us the many ways you and I have been blessed. Love remembers that how often we have been forgiven for our failings and how frequently we have been lost. And God has found you and me and brought us home. A love that keeps loving, a love that is unconditional, a love that watches over us. In his homily last weekend at the Masses, Deacon Dan reminded us of Psalm 116. How can I make a return to the Lord for all he has done for me? How can we make a return to the Lord for all his love that doesn't stop loving and will always love? What's the love that returns again and again with gratitude over and over again? Someone shared with me that at a parish he visits in Florida, the priest begins every Mass by welcoming them to the most important hour of the entire week. What could be the most important hour of each week that has 168 hours? To gather in the presence of God, to gather with one another, to gather and give thanks. What could be more important of all the hours of this coming week than being right here in the midst of God with one another? So welcome one and all to the most important hour of the week. I'd like to also sincerely thank you and thank God for the way you lift up your hearts and souls and minds to the Lord. Your singing, your praying, your responses, your actions truly reflect love of God, as well as for the love of the community that God has called us to be part of. I know about you, one of the highlights of my week is we gather today on the Lord's Day to break bread, to listen to God's word, to be renewed in our fellowship, to be a family that continues the journey together. Of course, one of the beautiful gifts of our gathering is singing God's praises. St. Augustine says, he who sings, prays twice. And I thank God for your singing. It really is truly uplifting, a sign that comes from one heart to another heart, to God's heart beyond. A special thank you to Julie Richards for overseeing our music ministry. Let's give Julie a special thank you, Julie. 27 plus years of leading us to sing God's praises. And of course, I'm excited about the return of the Resurrection Choir. And when a loved one dies, we gather with family members, we celebrate with them the passing of one of our members to the Lord's keeping. What a beautiful labor of love. And if any of you are able to do so, it's a beautiful ministry, bringing comfort to those who mourn. I'm also excited about the return of our choir, our celebration choir that for many years has been part of our tradition. And the door is opening to those who love to sing at the 10 o'clock liturgy, as well as those special feasts and holy days that we celebrate with solemnity and great thanksgiving. The choir will start singing at the 10 o'clock liturgy when the new church year begins on Sunday, December 3rd. Likewise, I'm also grateful for the many songs that we sing. Instead of using one hymnal that we've used, we're continuing to use these worship aids that allow us to draw from numerous resources. Some old familiar melodies, some new melodies, melodies and words that capture the sentiment of our hearts. And listen closely, sometimes they echo the words that are spoken from the Holy Bible. And somehow they continue to abide with us when we leave this place and we carry those words in our hearts. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, my strength. How I love you. It takes you with me many places, morning, noon, night driving. I hum those words and proclaim the Lord's light in my heart. Similarly, we have resumed the presentation of the bread and wine at all these liturgies other than 7:30 in the morning. And think about what a privilege it is to bring the gifts for the entire community. The bread that will become the body of Christ, the wine that will become the blood of Christ, the very gifts from God that enable us to be who we are in the journey ahead. And how could any of us make sense out of this senseless world if we don't have the Lord in our heart and in our soul? Speaking of gifts, we continue to thank you for your gifts that enable us to do so much for so many through our parish ministry. And as we've done in the past couple years, we'll continue to invite you to bring your gift to the altar, as they did for many years. Rather than pass the basket, pass the hat, we personally bring up the gift, as our family did, bringing food and other items to share the needy, but also the resources to continue the work of the body of Christ. Likewise, it's a joy to see the growing number of children who bring their gifts with such excitement to share in the work of the Lord. Speaking of children, we're glad to once again have some children bulletins to tie along with the readings on a children's level so that they too may learn the Word of God. Likewise, I'm grateful that once again, we offer the opportunity to serve both the body and blood of Christ. May I remind you, whether we receive one or both, it's still Christ. Christ who becomes food for the journey, who becomes food for the soul, who becomes for us our companion through joy, through sorrow, through hope and disappointment, through life and death and beyond. And like I'm grateful for those who proclaim the word, I'm so grateful for our Eucharistic ministers who serve the body and blood of Christ, those that visit our homebound, as well as persons in the convalescent homes and at the hospitals. I'm also grateful for the ministry of live streaming. The liturgy is live streamed every Sunday at 10 o'clock, as it is today, and on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock, upon request of funerals and special liturgies. What a beautiful ministry. And it's amazing to check out how many people from places near and far tune into us every Sunday like a ritual. So our family is more than just here, it's throughout our country, reminding us we're truly Catholic, which means we're here and everywhere. It goes on without saying how wonderful it is when we gather in the house of the Lord. But I want to share with you my sadness when many are not here because of distancing, because of lack of immunity, whatever it's taken us to keep us from physically being in this room. Our prayer is that they will return, body by body, person by person, to share in the fullness of life. What a gift it is to come together and share the celebration of the Lord's love for you, me, and everyone. And more than ever, with our world falling apart, we need to be a community that comes forth to be renewed in our promise that God is truly with us. And of course, as our Holy Father, Pope Francis, reminds us, the only way we can change the violence and the evil in our world is by lives of prayer, dedication, and solitude. For good will overcome, peace will prevail. And so I'm praying, and I'm asking you to pray with me for our loved ones to come back, to fill the empty places that are set at the table, and to once again be a family brimming over with gratitude, deep gratitude. How can we pray the Lord for all the good he has done? And so thank you for being here today, the most important hour of this week and for weeks to come.